Well, they got to work on their coin finding. Good morning, everybody. So, theme's already up here. Spoil the surprise. But the reading Rod did earlier, we're going to hear some different versions in a little bit. But I'm sure everybody knows that coming up this week is Valentine's Day. I don't hear any cheering, so. That's kind of how I feel about it. But in our house, it is a pretty important day, but not for the normal reasons. 13 years ago, Isaac was born on Valentine's Day. Luckily for me, it got me off the hook of doing Valentine's Day stuff. I was never terribly good at that, but I think Katie forgives me. I thank Isaac every year for saving me from that. Honestly, though, love is just an amazing thing. That year that we were getting ready for Isaac to join us, safe to say we were all excited, but nervous, not quite terrified. But at that point in time, what business did I have bringing a kid into the world when I hadn't even figured out what it was like being an adult? But I've since realized that doesn't matter because we never really figure it out anyway, so it's okay. After a fairly quick labor, Isaac was born at 7:11 p.m., the instantaneous feeling that washes over you of just pure love was like nothing I'd ever felt before. Anybody that has held a newborn baby, preferably once they've been cleaned up a little bit, it's the most amazing feeling ever. It's a kind of love that was overwhelming, and it just radiated through me. I was looking for the reason, but I know that there was a scientific reason that almost everybody in the room, even if you're not related, cries during a birth, and I could not find it when I was looking, but I remember hearing that a few years ago. It takes over just witnessing that. There's nothing quite like holding a baby and just breathing in. That innocence, I guess, is the best way to describe it. Just fills you with a pure love. So almost 3 years later, about a month, I want to say, before our second baby was coming, I remember lying in bed one night, just panicking. I asked Katie, how can I possibly love somebody else as much as I love Isaac? I felt a little crazy because I know there's so many people that have more than one kid, and you do love them all, but I just could not wrap my head around how it was possible. This was something I struggled with for right up until he was born. How can we have enough love in us to split it between more than one child? Well, that Christmas morning when Noah arrived, those fears were gone. It all vanished. And somehow God has given each of us that ability to love more than one person. So everybody knows the story. Over time, we added, and with each and every one of these kids that came into our lives, that fear was gone, but what we realized is when you love somebody new or somebody in addition to somebody else, it's not you have this much love and you have to divide it up. It multiplies, and it's absolutely mind-blowing. And I don't know why it is, because God's got this figured out. We just can't quite grasp it. So, today's theme is love. In the Bible, love is mentioned many, many times. In the NIV, it's mentioned 551 times, 319 in the Old Testament, and 232 times in the New Testament. What I found interesting was that was more than twice the amount of times love is mentioned in the King James Version. Just a neat little thing I found. So today we are going to go back and look at 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. In English, we use the word love to cover a wide variety of types of love. Yet in Greek, they have four words that they use for love, and each one defines a different type of love. For us, the word love can be confusing. We might use it in just a casual way or a very meaningful way. But the love that we have for our spouses and children is definitely different from the love that we have for our friends. So we're going to look at the four types of love that are generally referred to. The first, and I'm going to pronounce these as best I can, is eros. And this love would be the intimate or sensual type of love. This is the type of love that biblically should be among spouses. If you've never seen this book, it's Charles Stanley's Handbook for Christian Living. Katie got this for me quite a few years ago, and it has all sorts of topics you can find in it, and it has some great information. So I use that a lot for this, and I highly recommend that. In this book, he states, though this word is not used specifically in Scripture, it is certainly implied through the admonitions concerning marriage. Although the world has tried its best to distort this, and this seems to be the type of love that is written about, sung about, and acted out the most, God invented eros love for the most intimate part of marriage. As I was reading that part, it made me think of, I want to say a year and a half, 2 years ago, when the worship team was asked to sing in Lisbon, I Want to Know What Love Is. I don't think that it was the type of love that Pastor Ron had initially thought the song was about. I think it would fall more into this category. So just keep in mind when you choose songs to sing. The next is philia or philio. I've saw it both ways. And this is a brotherly type of love. This is the love you have for friends. Neighbors, just people you care about. The next, this was, I found, pronounced storge. And this word is not actually found in the Bible. This, though, is, so the word's not used, but the meaning is. This is a love within a family. It's the love that a parent has for children and siblings have for each other, as long as they get along, I suppose. And then is agape love. I know in Bible studies and in Sunday mornings, Pastor Ron has used this term before. Agape love is the most powerful type of love. It's the highest form of love. It's sacrificial love. This is the love that Jesus shows all of us. Agape love is the love we hear of in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. In the book I referred to, Charles Stanley also points us to 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. Agape love is such a powerful love, it's hard for us to wrap our heads around it. I think an important thing to remember is that in our lives, this love isn't our own doing. This is it's a love that comes through us from the Holy Spirit to others. It's an amazingly powerful thing. 1 John 4:19. We love because he loved us. He first loved us. Without Jesus loving each of us, we wouldn't know what true love is. So all these verses that we've mentioned, just we hear them all the time, but we really need to just take that moment and let it sink in. Jesus loved us so much that he laid down his life for each and every one of us. None of us are anywhere near close to deserving this. We screw up so many times a day. I know personally I am so completely undeserving of this love. But we see it over and over. God loves me anyway. Right here, we're going to put on a quick, not really quick, about a 4-minute video that I think states that really well. So I think that song just hits on parts of what agape love is and just reminds us that, once again, we are not deserving of God's love, but it doesn't matter. He loves us. So now that we've looked at the various types of love, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians and take a closer look. I'm going to try to do this the right way. I got it. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not love, I gain nothing. So in these verses, they give us examples of the many great gifts and works of men that were highly esteemed in the days of Paul. One who has all these gifts could be capable of many great things. Yet Paul is saying that without love, these things are meaningless. Paul is also illustrating that these gifts will one day no longer be around, yet love will still be there. In the version we heard earlier from the Message, I believe, it referred to the creaking of a rusty gate, whereas this talks about a gong or clanging cymbal. And what I found was gongs and cymbals were something that the people during this time, before they became Christians, would use in pagan practices regularly. So it was a very meaningful thing, whereas unless you're listening to Josh play, we're not, you know, for many of us, gongs and cymbals are not a daily noise. So interesting to see how different versions change it to be meaningful for the people that each version was really written for. Verses 4 through 7 lay out what true love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? last year I made Katie a sign and I painted these verses on it just as a way to help keep us constantly focused on what true love is, because even with that right there that you see every day, we're so far from that. As Rod said earlier, you know, you can look at those things and just go, wow, I'm not there. But when we read those, can any of us honestly say that we meet each of these? We might do well with one or two at a time, but it's a pretty significant list. I know that my love falls short in all of these ways, even though I try. When it comes to marriage, we should all strive for these, but we aren't perfect. I think a more accurate statement for these verses would be, love is hard, love takes effort, love is not perfect, but love is worth it all. I've shared up here and with some of you privately my personal struggles with depression and anger. It's played a strong role in the love between Katie and myself, though. I definitely haven't been an easy person to love and stand by many times. But, you know, I can honestly say that I've seen just a glimpse of God's love working through Katie. There's no reason that she should have stayed by me at my lowest points. And I definitely would not have blamed her for running away and saying, forget this. But we both have taken our commitment to each other seriously. Love is an ongoing work in progress. We all, everyone in this room, and sorry if I offend you, but we all say stupid things. We hurt other people's feelings. We do stupid things. Sometimes purposefully, and sometimes just happens. And those things don't come off as loving, but it's not because we're trying to be hurtful. We just aren't perfect. Sometimes we may put a little more effort into not being so nice as other times. You might be angry and say, I'm going to do this. I want to make this person feel this way. Now, don't take this wrong. I'm not trying to say that Katie and I and our love is better or stronger than anybody else's. It's only because of God that we're where we are. And even before I had a relationship with God, and he wasn't the center of our life, he was still right there, leading us every step of the way. Just think about that. We are so blessed that we have a loving God. Many may argue or question how God can love us, yet let us make bad decisions in our lives. I was trying to write this part knowing knowing that there are many in this room that have experienced things that I couldn't imagine. So trying to be sensitive to those things and writing this part, it's tricky. God lets us do things that don't seem in any way to be good. And the effects it has on people that love you can last forever. Why does he let this happen? It is because he loves us. That never made sense to me till the first time I sat through the fundamentals of the faith. A section on free will. As a parent, I think you all are aware that I have a little experience as a parent. I want my kids to make the right choices. I don't want them to get hurt. I want them to grow up to be good people. But I love them. And I love them enough that I want them to make decisions. If I never let them make a bad choice and they might get hurt because of it, would I really be truly loving of them? And that made me think, wow, if God did not give us free will to make those choices, He couldn't be all-loving. He'd be controlling. So when you're questioning those things, just remember that. Things happen because God loves us so much. So, as I said, when things happen, it's hard for us to really grasp that. So for the sake of time, I think you guys are going to be happy. You're actually going to get out on time or early. This could go on and on and on. I mean, I haven't even touched in upon the final verses. But I have one more video that reiterates all of these things. And just as you watch it and as you go off into the week, think about everybody you come in contact with and how you can show them love. People that get on your nerves and people that you truly care about. Give somebody that extra hug, just not if you're sick like our image shows that we put up here sometimes. But show that love. It goes back to being the salt and light. We love because God loved us first. And remember that when you're interacting with people this week. And there is not a closing song from the worship team, I believe, so we will use this as our closing song. Here today, let us go out into the world and let our love be the proof of your love. Let others feel your love, those that have you in their life and those that don't. Let us help bring your love to them, Lord. Let us just remember, as we're interacting with those in our homes, what we can do today and each day just to show our love a little bit more every day. Let us all focus on the things that you have taught us, Lord. And let us all remember that you loved us anyway. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you are free to go.